Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I probably don't have to tell you this, but we live in a world today where things just don't last. It's interesting to me, if you think about it, the first light bulb that was ever created is still burning. But General Electric learned really quickly, if they built light bulbs that burn forever, they weren't going to stay in business. That's the reality. It's interesting to me that you can go to the store today and buy a mattress that has a 30-year warranty, but yet the commercials tell us that you're supposed to replace them every 8 years. Things don't last. You buy tires from Discount Tire that have a 70,000-mile warranty on them, and before you know it, at 30,000 miles, you're replacing your tires. We live in a world where things just don't last. There is nothing that is all sufficient in this world. Cars, money, our homes, relationships, love, friendships, ministries, and yes, for those of you who want to hear this part of the sermon, even pastors don't last forever, and that should give some of you some great joy. But the reality is, things in this world just are not all sufficient. Today in our lesson from Paul, we see the power of the all-sufficient, unending, unconditional grace of God. You know, as I say that, this is what I think about. This comes to mind for me. I believe the reality is that the reason God allows things in this world not to last forever is because it causes us to rely more on his grace, which is all-sufficient. Because that's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of God who sent his Son into this world to die for us, to forgive us our sins, to rise up from the grave, to assure us that we will live forever. No, our possessions in this world, our jobs, our money, everything that we have is materialistic that we touch in this world will not last forever, but we will live forever because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. This is the all-sufficient grace of God, and his grace comes into our life so powerfully every day in so many ways. In the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, the friends that we have, the devotions that we do, the worship we get to partake in on Sundays, the sacraments. In so many ways, God's grace swoops into our lives, in family and friends and children, in the gift of medicine that he gives us. God's grace swoops into our lives. I remember having a professor say one time in the seminary, and it makes sense, you have a headache, right? So you take an aspirin. Sure, you're using that aspirin, but it's really God's grace that is allowing that aspirin to get rid of your headache. Because that's how God's grace works in this world. Every good and perfect gift that we partake of is from God. In fact, if you read the catechism and remember the explanation to the first article, God gives us house and home, food and shelter, clothes, wife and husband, and all the things that we have. Everything we need to support this body and life. He even gives us Jesus Christ, who died for us, who rose for us, so that our sins, our wretchedness, our shame, our guilt can all be cast away, left inside the empty tomb, destroyed forever, so that we might live in this world with peace and joy and harmony and love and forgiveness in our lives and with each other. You see, the grace of God transforms our lives. The grace of God truly transforms our lives. Think about it. As God works his grace in our lives, we change. I'm not the same person I was yesterday. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I'm definitely not the same person I was 42 years ago, since I'm only 41. But the same goes for you, right? So he transforms our past. He takes what we see as our mess-ups and our shame and all the screw-ups and all of our hurts and all that we've done wrong, and he transforms them. He uses them to teach us how to love people more and to grow in grace. He takes our present and he transforms it. He takes the struggles and the worries and the hardships and the mourning and the illness and the financial woes and the depression and the mental illness, and you fill in the blank with whatever you want to fill in the blank with, and he transforms it. He transforms it by his grace so that we may become stronger in him to live for him and his love in the world around us. He transforms our futures. Think about it. On our own, without Jesus, our future was hell. But because Jesus has died and has risen from the dead, our future has been transformed into the gift of heaven and eternal life. And if Jesus can transform our past, our present, and our future, we know that the unending grace of God is all sufficient, and it is one thing that we can count on every single day of our lives, whether we are living in complete health or whether we are on our deathbed ready to take our last breath. The all-sufficient grace of God is our we can depend on and is our sure defense in knowing that we have hope that this surpasses this world, that we have Jesus as our Savior and eternal life in heaven with him. The grace of God makes poor sinners like you and me into saints. The grace of God takes poor sinners like you and me and makes us into saints. For we know that when God the Father looks down on us, he sees his Son Jesus. And he sees us as saints. He doesn't see our past, our wrongdoings, and our failures. He sees us as perfect and loved and redeemed by the baptismal waters of his grace, so that we are able to defeat Satan and his shame and the arrows that he throws at us, so that we can live with absolute victory in this world, overcoming whatever Satan places in our path. You see, Paul was suffering from a great thorn in his flesh, and he did exactly what any of us would do. He went to God in prayer. At least I hope that's what we would do. Now, I'll be honest with you, because I'm a sinner and I mess up a lot, very often when something's going wrong in my life, the first thing I do is not prayer. The first thing I do, because I'm a man and most wives will shake their heads, is I try to solve the problem. Now, wives, don't elbow your husbands. It's okay. We know. But I try to solve the problem. But eventually, I go to God in prayer. And that's what St. Paul did. He had this thorn in his flesh. Now, Scripture is not clear what this thorn was. Theologians that forever have said, well, maybe it was an illness. Maybe it was a mental illness. Maybe it was a sin, a pet sin that he had. We don't know. And I'm glad that we don't know, because it allows us to be able to put in whatever we want to put in, and that's okay. But he had a thorn in his flesh. And he said he went to God three times, and he pleaded, God, remove this thorn from my flesh. Remove it. Take it away. Set me free. Take this thorn away. And yet that thorn was not removed. Instead, he got an answer that knocked him on his rear end, one that I wouldn't have wanted to hear. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You see, we don't know what his weakness was. He talked about boasting. We don't know. But the Lord God saw fit to allow that thorn to remain in Paul's flesh. I think my answer to God would have been something like this. What? Wait? What are you talking about? Why are you allowing this thorn to stay in my flesh? I've asked you three times, and you know you've promised that if we ask something in Jesus' name, you'll do it for us. And then we're reminded that God says, yes, I'll answer your prayer. Sometimes it's yes, no, or wait. But either way, God answered Paul's prayer. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And he allowed that thorn to stay in Paul's flesh. He allowed it there to keep Paul focused on him, so that the boasting of Paul may be a witness to the miraculous grace and salvation of Jesus Christ. Very often when we go through the hardships of life, we go through those hardships, number one, to strengthen us, number two, to grow us, and number three, that God may use them to his glory and to the salvation of those around us. It's hard for our minds to grasp that because we don't want to believe we have to go through that. But the reality is God doesn't cause us to go through it. He allows us to go through it, and he gives us the strength to endure through the power of his word and his sacrament. You know, I have a thorn in my flesh, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. Just like St. Paul, you can guess what it is. It's nothing I've ever told you about before. But I have a thorn, and I pleaded with God for many years, will you just remove this blasted thorn? Sometimes it makes me physically sick. Sometimes it destroys my prayer life. Sometimes it makes me depressed. Fill in the blank, whatever it might be. And every time, I'm reminded of these passages. I'm reminded of God's voice coming to me and saying, my strength is perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. As I've grown over the years, what I began to realize is this thorn saved my life. It saved my life because it caused me to realize the total dependence that I need for Jesus in my life. It caused me to realize that I cannot exist in this world because of my sinfulness, my failures, my wrongdoings, without the grace of God who forgives me and loves me and transforms me every day of my life. It caused me to realize the power of surrendering deeply, giving up, and giving everything to God. And when that happens, that peace of God that passes all understanding begins to flood our hearts and our lives because we are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Many of us will have or do have thorns in our flesh. And yes, they can be painful. Yes, they can be isolating. And yes, they can be lonely. If you do not have a thorn in your flesh now, I promise you, mark this down, you will have one. I can guarantee you that. But God's grace is sufficient for you. He gives us each other to show us that his grace is sufficient. It's in the gift of the fellowship of the body of Christ where God builds us up as we share forgiveness and love with each other and celebrate the grace of God together. It's in this fellowship, in this body, where we reconcile to one another, where we say Jesus loves you, where we greet one another with God's peace, where we pray for each other, where God transforms our lives. He gives us his word and his sacrament, his love and his grace and his forgiveness daily, daily. Minute by minute, he's pouring all of these things out into our lives to transform us, to build us up, to change our lives, to give us hope. He gives us the wonderful promise of his Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that comes into our lives by his grace through the power of word and sacrament to work in our hearts, to whisper in our ears, you are forgiven, you are God's child, you are a saint, you are going to heaven. Nothing in this world can separate you from God. And oh, how we need to hear those words over and over again, and this is the all-sufficient grace of God in our lives. God makes his strength perfect in our surrender. That's what God deeply wants from us. When we've talked about the theology of the cross, and we've talked about us being vessels at the bottom of the cross, that means that we are called to a life of complete surrender, that we lie down at the foot of the cross with arms wide open and say, Jesus, I can do nothing on my own. Luther said, and I say, and I agree, if it were long left to me, it would have all been ruined. But I surrender to you, O Lord. I surrender to you. I give you my life and my past and my present and my future. I give you my wrongdoings, my failures, my sin. There's nothing I can do on my own to change it. Do you understand that is surrender? There is nothing I can do on my own to change it. But when we surrender, the grace of God seeps into our lives and changes everything. It changes everything. It takes away the decay. It takes away the rot and the disease of our sinfulness and makes us a new creation filled with hope and joy and life. God allows these thorns to happen to keep us focused on Him, to keep us secure in our salvation. I dare say if it were not for the thorn I have in my flesh, I would have no need for God, because I would forget that I would have that He forgave me. I would forget how wonderful He is. I would forget to go to Him every day in prayer, and soon my relationship would be lost. So I thank God for my thorn and praise Him that He uses this thorn and many others to keep His salvation alive in my life, boasting to others of what He has done in witness. God keeps these things in our lives so that we may boast to others of what He has done in witness. You know, we Lutherans don't talk about testimony too often, but we have a testimony. We have a story. And very often in this world, the way others come to know Jesus is when they get to know us and we share our stories with them. Our hurts, our brokenness, our pain, our thorns. Not to glory in ourselves, but to show others what Jesus has done for us. Because this makes Jesus real. This makes Him personal. This helps them to see that His grace and His salvation is all sufficient. So today, if you are struggling with a thorn in your flesh, or if you're about to, go ahead and pray to God about it and ask Him to make His grace sufficient for you. Ask Him to make His strength perfect in your life, and He will do it, and you will become stronger, and others around you, well, they're going to come to know Jesus. In His name, amen.